Welcome to Matching Mom Jeans, where identical twins explore divergent paths of motherhood born from the same roots. Join us as we navigate this crazy world of parenting, proving that even with identical DNA, our journeys are still unique. Get ready for laughs, insight, and a double dose of maternal mayhem.
Hi, we finally got it to work. How are you?
I know. Oh my gosh. I feel as though I have been beat down by technology lately, but we're here and we're back. Season 2!
Woohoo! Yeah, so I was... Go ahead.
So much has changed. I don't even know exactly where to start. Like, I'm even looking at this outline, and it's a little overwhelming.
Yeah,
I felt that way when I... lead on this.
When I wrote the outline, I felt really overwhelmed by it, too. So, I don't know. I think that, like... I'm very excited that we started this little journey in season one before we knew that you would be international. But at the same time, like, woof, it's been a big change. So it's
like
kind
that's
of
like
fun.
Such a good way to look at it, because so season one of Matching Mom Jeans, our last episode was in July.
Yeah, July.
Of last year, 2023. So that's only 7 months ago. In fact, it was like July 20th or something. So as we're recording this, it's like pretty much exactly 7 months ago. No, six months ago.
Yeah, July to January.
6 months
It's ago. January.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
that's
only
crazy
been 6 months.
When you think about it, it's only been 6 months. Okay, so... I mean, all right, that's fine. I'm not going to spiral out about that at all. It's okay. let's kind of talk about how things... Okay, let's talk about the big picture of how things have changed first. And then we can talk about the things that are still the same. Like,
yeah,
for example,
well, like,
our children still existing.
That's, yes, very true. We still have the same children. We still have the same husbands. Those are all very good stationary facts. Let's go with the continental level
of
changes.
Same stuff. Including the microphone I'm talking on, it's the exact same microphone as before. These headphones survived a move to Germany, which is where I live now.
Oh, yeah.
Germany.
Just bury the lead there.
it's the same microphone, different time zone, multiple time zones, like lots and lots of time zones away.
Yeah. You are, let's see, you are 6 hours ahead of me because I'm in Eastern time, right?
Yeah, which is 7 hours ahead of where I used to be. So,
yeah,
like,
used
a
to
lot
be
of
in
my
Central
friends
time.
And everything are still back in Central Time.
Yeah.
And
so,
that's wild.
So, tell
and
us why Germany? How did you end up in Germany?
So, we moved from my husband's job. And it was a rather sudden kind of move. A position came available that he was a good fit for. He works for the Department of Defense, and so it's on one of the military bases here in Germany. And so
of which I didn't realize there were that many army bases in Germany, but there's like three near you, right?
There's a rather large footprint of American bases like everywhere.
Yeah.
In Europe.
It's kind of crazy where we all are. My husband's been, he got a promotion and he's had some different job things with the military come up, and he's constantly looking and he's like, hey, there's like six job openings in Germany. I'm like,
well,
they must really
you know,
be,
it
must
been...
really be hurting.
Well, the things are kind of scaling up and that's a whole other thing. But for us, it's been a really, really strange difference because this is not new for him to work for the Department of Defense. He's worked for the Department of Defense for over 5 years. And that's what he did where we lived before. And so the military part of his job was just kind of always like a, I don't know, like the letterhead. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, oh, yeah, I work for the Department of Defense. It wasn't like, but over here, it's like, no, I drive my daughter to her daycare. We call it school, but I drive my daughter to school past the military police and through the gates and have my ID checked and my car swiped for things, and then we go in and then we check her in and out like a library book. Like, it's military over here.
That was
very military.
It is really different because my husband is reserves, and the few times that he has been gone for months and months and months on a base, and you drive on and off the base, and you're just like, wow, this is feels a little bit more grown up than it should. I'm just dropping off lunch, man.
I had to take, so, I mean, we're not 6 months in yet because we didn't move until later in the fall, but you know, we're several months in, but it took us a couple months to get all of our stuff and everything. And so I took the last load of cardboard boxes today to the military base recycling center because we do not live on base. We are civilian. And it's very, very, very difficult to like slowly lose cardboard weight out of your house in a country that takes recycling so seriously. As Germany does. Germany is much more environmentally friendly than the United States in a lot of ways. And one of them is they have a huge major push for recycling. Like, they will make it your problem if you do it wrong.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was one of those things where it's like, we're going to have our first visitors here in a couple weeks. And we're so excited. And that meant that we can't use the extra room for empty box storage anymore. And so I loaded the car up today during nap time, and I took the cardboard. But I literally, like, I had to drive out of my village, across town, get on a military base, drive to the military base recycling center, check in my however many pounds of, like, cardboard, and then drive off the base. And back, like, it's not an easy errand. It's like a whole thing, and it's just really, really wild because I'm like, I just don't know anything about the military, and I probably should because now I work for the Department of Defense too.
I know. Well, that's
because I've gone back to work.
I feel like you have had constantly... this like massive crash course in like not only just being like expat. But also,
the military moved us. It's a process called PCS, like permanent change of station. So, like, they did all the moving. They put the stuff on the boat. We had no control over anything. I do not handle lack of control especially well, and I have had no control. So I'm completely zen now. In fact, I took to calling myself, you'll remember this, our listeners might get a kick out of this, I took to calling myself Roll With The Punches Shelby for like months.
Roll With The Punches Shelby was almost as fun as like just Punch Drunk Shelby. Like, they're very similar versions of who you are as a person.
If I hadn't had a toddler in the middle of all of this, there would have been a lot more actual drinking in the punch, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
and that would have been a better experience overall. As it was, we made it through with like 950 million screenings of Frozen.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean,
that's
moving
right.
with
that's
the toddler,
the other thing changing my life. I moved countries and now we watch Screen Time.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it.
100%. Well, and also, like, you know, logistically, like, there were some pretty interesting things that I thought I never would have thought of, but like, your dog couldn't come until later. And it was because it was so hot, like, right? It was too hot for him to fly. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly it. So there is an embargo on larger dogs that have to ride under the plane, like in the cargo hold,
Which is crazy because he's not that big of a dog.
he's a big dog in length, and that's all that matters, is you get the crate based on like length and height and, you know, tail length, I don't know, all these things.
The crate that was big enough for your husband to fit in, is that the crate we're referring
and so
to?
That's based on our dog's measurements. That's the size that he needed, and it was massive. And he, I mean, no wonder that he did so well. I'm so glad he did so well flying, but no wonder he did so well because he flew in the size of like a New York City apartment. And he was massive.
It was like the interior of a car. It was crazy.
Oh, there are cars smaller, especially now that I've seen some of the European models.
Yeah, for real. Like, my little Kia was all I could think of. I was like, I'm pretty sure that that's how big the cabin area of my Kia was. Because that was some huge crate.
Some of these people get here. Okay, we were lucky enough that my husband was able to borrow a van to go pick up my dog from the airport. We had been here for 3 weeks at the time. And he went to go pick up. But some people literally, like, get their dog out of the kennel and then just abandon the kennel because there's no way the kennel will fit in their car.
That's
it's
fair.
It's a very expensive piece of equipment.
I would have never thought about that. And people just leave them there. I would have never thought about how to get it home. That is really crazy.
Or where to store it in our European house that doesn't even have closets.
Yeah, that's been weird, too. Like, you don't have... Like, come on, where do European people put their stuff?
You can buy those at IKEA. You can buy wardrobes at IKEA. And we
like
did.
Narnia.
Yes. Yeah. Wardrobes are not magical for me anymore. They're essential. It's wild. There's so many things.
So we recorded
our last podcast. Did I have a flight date yet? Because it took us a while to get, like, we knew we were going, and we knew the month, and we knew when the movers were picking up things, but I don't know if we had plane tickets at that point in July.
No, because you didn't
we
get
left
them
in August.
Yeah, because we released our episodes like 2 or 3 weeks after we'd finished recording them. We stopped recording several
That's
weeks
true.
In advance.
I forget about the magic
and at that afterwards. Point, yeah, at that point, you didn't really even have. Like, you had, like, a generic in the next 6 weeks vibe going on.
Right. It's one of
because
those things
you
like,
weren't
we know
even
we're
really
Christmas.
Yeah. You weren't even really packed when we were recording because that was one of the reasons that we stopped and, like, called it on episodes because you needed to pack the office that you were using.
Yeah, and I didn't get to decide that. Like, we were told when they were coming, and they changed their date several times.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those things where it's like, yeah, I won't actually have a microphone next week because it'll be packed up, so we should finish this now.
Exactly.
It's like a fever dream now that I think about it.
That's valid.
It's kind of wild. It's kind of wild.
Well,
but
so tell
there's
us...
there's been a lot of regular life, too.
Yeah, so tell us how you made the decision around your daughter. Because as a parent, you can make cool decisions for yourself and be like, yeah, sure, I'm going to live in Europe for 3 years. But, like, that's a very tender age for your daughter who's just recently turned 2. So walk us through what made... I mean, of course, I think I would have made the same decision just because... We talk so much about different cultures in different countries and, you know, the different exposures and different ways that people exist outside of America. But, like, how did you and your husband make the final choice of, like, yeah, we're okay with taking our 1.5-year-old to Germany for 3 years or 4 years, however. It's 3 years, right?
Yeah, we actually don't know for sure, but it's a minimum of 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a long timeline.
It's not just a few months. It's long enough that we moved our stuff kind of thing. Well, okay, so it's kind of a loaded... I mean, there's some nuance there. There's some nuance to that question. So we kind of have to take a step back from the parents making the decision and look at the, like, husband and wife making the decision. My husband and I decided years ago... that rather than be the kind of couple, because I'm an engineer, married to an engineer, and you see that a lot. Like, it's very common for there to be, if there's one engineer in the family, there's two engineers in the family. It's just kind of, it's something we see a lot, at least as engineers.
Birds of a feather flock together.
but the thing is one thing we always seem to see was there would be one dominant career. There had always been one dominant career, and it had been that way for years. And so they were 15 years in, and, you know, he's never got to choose his location, or she's never got to choose her location. And so Jake and I had decided very early on that we would, like, I don't know, like 10 years, like every 10 years or whatever, we'll swap over, and, you know, you get to pick for a while. And it was kind of one of those things where for the first 10 years, I got to make the decisions about where we were because of my career. And I got to go first because I got the first, like, job offer that took me to DC when we were dating and where we got engaged. And that's where I kind of count that clock starting. And it was one of those things where it was like, you know, this is the best for my career. Is it the best thing for our relationship? Well, we can decide together to make it the best thing for our relationship, et cetera, et cetera. Those kinds of conversations started there.
Yeah.
And so when we were, and you know, we look back now, we're very happy for that decision because that ultimately led me to getting to a point where I'm at the point in my career where I was able to take a step back last year to stay home with our daughter and not, you know, dead leg. Is that still a phrase people say? Dead leg?
I have no idea. I don't know that I've ever heard anyone say that. But like thwart.
In high school, people used to just like, yeah, I didn't just like knock the wind out of the sails of my career by doing that. In fact, I got to a point where I was able to, like, okay, if I step back in, I shouldn't lose any ground in a year when I step back in to my career. And that's huge because we live in a world where it literally costs you financially to be a mother, and will cost you financially to be a mother for your entire career to make the choice to have kids. And so, you know, to try to head some of that off just by my husband letting me choose, like, which jobs I took and where we lived, like, locationally for those jobs, that's always been, like, a huge thing. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
We came up
his
on that
turn came
mark.
Around.
Yeah, and I was thinking, like, he'd pick somewhere cool, or he'd start thinking about it, or he might, what, I did not think Germany. It wasn't on the list. Now, what
it's one
I
of those define your parameters.
What I also didn't think was the first job he got offered, which was Japan. And
valid.
I don't have any problems with Japan, but I was just like, oh boy, that's a lot of culture shock. Like, Germany has been a culture shock, but that would be a huge culture shock. And they wouldn't let us take our dog. And we were like, nope, never mind.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because there's, like, a huge quarantine situation and everything, taking dogs to Japan. And our dog was our baby for years and years and years. So we're not taking that.
Yeah, he's non-negotiable.
Lightly. He's non-negotiable. That's exactly right. So we definitely had to, you know, make that decision. And it was the right one for us. And so, you know, just looking at it from that perspective, looking at what was best for my husband's career, that's a pro. That's a pro in the column. It just is. And then you get to looking at what it would cost me, what it would cost our daughter, and what it would give me and what it would give my daughter. And, you know, obviously the most important thing is that our family is together. That's always been the most important thing for us. And so the fact that he was able to take this job, and this job has the same level or less travel, like overnight travel and being gone for weeks at a time, that's huge. Like, we would not have moved over here if it meant that he wasn't going to be home at night. Even his, even like his work from home, like his telework status and stuff, very, very similar to what it was at his last job. And so time between him and her, time between him and me, not a huge difference. So that's, you know, a net negative, a net zero there. And so, you know, we just kind of like looked at things individually like that. And when we looked at, like, what it would cost our daughter, it would cost her interpersonal relationships, like the relationships with her grandparents and the face-to-face connections she had started to build with some friends and neighbors. Yeah. And that was hard. That's a hard decision to make. It really is. And what it basically had to come down to was there any way that we could make the benefit for her higher than that cost? Because when you're 1.5, I mean, that's the main cost. Like, they still have snacks here. They're different snacks. That's They're true. Very different snacks.
They had still to go have through snacks
a whole thing. Had to go through a whole thing for her pickles, though. Still have to buy her pickles from America. I have to go to the army base to buy her pickles from America because German pickle gherkins are not what she's expecting when you hand her a pickle-shaped object. And she'll never get over it. She's an American pickle girly, and it's okay. But, you I know, love like, that. There's been adjustments for her. I'm not saying that, like, besides seeing her grandparents, her life is exactly the same. But I was going to go back to work in the fall regardless. So she was going to start daycare either at home in America or here. And so now she has the opportunity to, in a few months, she has started at a daycare here on base. And so she's getting to get used to that schedule and used to that timing. And she's been doing really, really well. And we're so thankful for that. But she's also been accepted to start in a local German school here in a few months. And she will be learning German through an immersive experience, which is huge.
Will there be people there who speak? I forgot to ask you this the other day when you told me this, but will there be teachers who speak English? Because there are a lot of bilingual people in Europe. Like, it's not quite as uncommon as we could be led to believe, but like, what level of hybrid is she going to experience, or is this like immersion?
So we're gonna have to do like an episode on it, like a full download on it when I know more. Okay. Probably after she starts, but my understanding is the Krippe, which is where she will be starting. By the way, if anyone ever listens to our podcast and you have a better German accent than me and your German is better than me, just, you know, nod and smile like the Germans who live in my neighborhood do, and just know I'm really trying. It's a hard language.
Oh, man. You have to tell the story of your daughter outing you at the grocery store because you were doing so well speaking
every
German.
Time I go to the grocery store. But it's just going to get worse when she knows more German than I do, which is why I'm getting a tutor and I'm working so hard. But so at the Krippe, she will not have an English in her curriculum. So all of the discussions and everything will be in German. All the books they read, all the songs they sing, they're in German.
Oh, wow.
Once she turns 3, she will start kindergarten. Which is basically their preschool, and that is English and German. So that means there's people in that building that speak English. And when I call and talk to them about registration and do stuff, they talk to me in mostly English. So there's people in there that speak English, but it will be a lot of German for her to learn German, because even the German toddlers that are going are still learning German themselves. I mean, when we think about it, our children are still learning English.
Yeah, they're not fluent by any means.
Right, like, she's not fluent in English either. made most notable by the fact that today she got the word books and boots confused. And she kept telling me that her books were outside. And I was like, why are your books outside? What books? I don't see any books outside. What are we talking about? She's like, standing at the window, pointing, worried about her books. Oh no, my books. And her rain boots that have been out there for a week are still out there.
Ah, and yes. I was suddenly like, it's an emergency.
And then she looks at me and she goes, oh, boots. And then just walks away.
Yeah. And that's like, my
yeah.
My 2.5-year-old's favorite thing right now is to interpret things that you say and then babble them back to you in like the wrong order, because he thinks it's absolutely hysterical. I don't know where he got it. I think his brother may have taught it. Like, it's funny to say things in a different order or whatever. And so now it's like, want to, you sit there and you're like, Why are you talking like this? And you're like, is this a skill problem? Or is this because you think this is funny? Because a six-year-old told you this was funny? Like, I'm confused.
There's some speech pathologist out there that's like, no, he's learning participle phrases or whatever. I don't even know what a participle phrase is, but something.
Yeah, me either. But that'll be really cool. I do kind of have a lot of empathy for the fact that it's already hard when your child is away from you during the day and, like, learns different things, because then they come home and in their very limited communication try to tell you what it is that they're interested in. And so, like, I can only imagine how much more interesting that's going to be when don't even have the same language, because, like, my child will be away from me for, like, an hour and learn a new word and be babbling this word at me. And I'm like, I don't, you're going to have to use context clues, buddies. Like, I don't know what you're saying. And with like our older boy, my stepson has gone, you know, to kindergarten. And so now he comes and tells us, you know, we learned this song, and he still doesn't know what the tune of the song is, but he wants you to sing the song with him. And I'm like, this is not how this works. So
those nightmares are coming. I know.
That in another language will be a blast, I'm sure.
Well, so my husband and I have both been learning German for, I don't know, we've been here for 5 months, so we've been learning for 8 months.
What's your favorite German word? Because I know what mine is, so I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what mine is. Are you ready?
Yeah, go for it.
My favorite German word is the word for pink. Pink.
That's an easy
That's
one.
It's my favorite joke is that I know the word for pink is in German.
It's just
pink.
I cannot possibly pronounce it, but I absolutely live for the way that 2024, the year, is said in German. And if I can ever get the pronunciation right, I will try to get it recorded just so that I have proof that I can do it.
Oh, yeah. That would be cool.
Because the word for two is zwei. And the word for 20 is zweisen.
Oh, no.
And then the word for four is vier. And so it's like, it's just, there's so many Z's. There's so many Z's.
Yeah, they
in
really.
2024.
They really lean into that letter.
Yes.
It's a very common letter, I think. That in like.
Well, it's because S's are pronounced like Z's. So there's actually twice as many Z's.
I know. We don't say your last name on the pod, but your last name starts with an SP. And how is that pronounced? Exactly. It's like my favorite ears thing their headphones. Ever. It's the little. Yeah, it's the whistle. So, the whistle kills
and
me.
And the thing is I am loving learning the German language. Like, and I don't know that I ever would have learned German. I learned French in high school. I took 3 years of French, and I have traveled to French-speaking areas and used my French, and I just really enjoy the French language. I think the French language is beautiful. I do not think the German language is beautiful, but I think the German language is so amazingly cool. Like, there's much about it that's just awesome. And the way that words are combined is so cool, and the way that it just makes perfect sense. Like, you look at a word and you're like, why is that the word for that? And it's like, okay, yeah, that doesn't make any sense until I realize that that's the word for four, and that's the word for corner, and that's why that's the word for square. You know what I mean? Like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and
so
I like it
I'm
because
I'm really enjoying learning German.
I like it because Rory gave us, you know, a private little linguist lesson that day, and explained why, like, in language families. In language families, then they have different, like, groupings, and English, American English, and German are close.
Yeah, they're actually fairly closely related. Their alphabets are very similar. There's just an extra letter.
Yeah, and so, like, you would have never thought that as far as, like, just looking at two things written out. But like Rory did, I may have to have Rory one day record that for me, just so that I can explain it to other people, because I think it's so interesting. And, you know, they're learning about linguistics and stuff in college. And so we always get very fun little tidbits. But that was the one that surprised me the most, was like, oh, yeah, it's in the same language family. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's German.
Well, and I feel like German gets a rap for being like a really harsh language. But it's really hard to have a harsh language when the content that you're taking in is children's books and nursery rhymes.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so, like, we'll have to look into licensing rules about playing Schnappi on here. Because
I was about to say that. We Schnappi need to play Schnappi, Schnappi, Schnappi.
My daughter's... Schnappi is my daughter's favorite song right now. And we had I'm so thankful for Schnappi, Das Kleinen Krokodil. Like, yeah. That's
we
Schnappi,
had to turn
the tiny
Schnappi
crocodile.
Off for a little while. Schnappi had to take a time out in our house.
Oh,
because,
come on, Auntie Nicole. Suck it up. It's better than Baby
Shark. We
had to
take a break. Well, see, you know, talking about changes in our kids in the last 7 months, is mine has now decided that he wants to become a musical prodigy, and can now play like music on his like desk bells. Like, he's very good, and I do actually like want to like nurture that. But
you should record the bells. For like intros and outros on the episodes for this season, because
it's
the soundtrack of your life.
It really, really is. And honestly, truly, like, one of the very first songs he learned was Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. And then the second song he learned was Do, Re, Fa, 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 Do, Re, Fa, 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 Do, Re, Fa, 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 Do, Re, Mi. And I was just like, oh my goodness, it's Baby Shark. But he didn't know what it was called, because it was one of those where, like, I didn't catch the end of the video before it rolled into another lesson. And and I just like turned around and he's like, Mommy, I want to listen to Do Re Fa. And I was like, what is Do Re Fa? And it's like one of those moments where you're like, oh, here we are. We have now learned how to play Baby Shark, but we don't know what it is. He finally, now he calls it Safe at Last, because that's the last verse. So it sounds like this really sweet song called Safe at Last that he wants to listen to and play the bells to. And then he starts playing Baby Shark. And you're like, great. Lovely for that.
Well, we tried to convince our daughter that Baby Shark only existed at daycare and that we just didn't have access to that song. And
it worked for
a long time until she got a Tony box for Christmas and one of the Tonys plays it. And, like, we didn't know it. It's, like, buried deep in the playlist and we didn't know it. I'm the one who bought that one. It's my fault. And we didn't know. We didn't know. And it has like
snuck in under the wire
on this one Tony, and it's playing for like 35 minutes one day, and all of a sudden, like as soon as it started, her head like snapped up from whatever she was working on, and
it's a miracle.
She goes, "Mama, Baby Shark," which is what she calls it,
which is even funnier. You should never correct that. Ever.
I won't be corrected that anytime soon, because it's hilarious. But yeah, and she was like, it's here in the house, and I was like, yeah, it sure is.
It snuck it under the wire. Thanks so much. So, well, getting a little bit back on track as far as like, you know, how things have, like, another big thing about Germany that really shocked me as like a food allergy mama, and like my husband has a really strong gluten intolerance, and like my son was allergic to wheat until like this last April, and so like having to move and even travel and things like that, even just going over to someone else's house for dinner, like, is kind of anxiety inducing for me sometimes, because of like not knowing what the ingredients are and if things have been, you know, contaminated with allergens and stuff like that. But like, you guys can't even read the ingredients on the back of your food half the time, or at least when you first got there, you couldn't.
I can now I learned food words first.
Food words, there we go. Yeah,
what happened, like, so in the grocery store for the first few times, like, I'm wearing a toddler on my back, my husband's at work, I've walked down to the grocery store. We're talking the first week here, because the second week here, I broke my foot and I was on crutches for ever. We'll talk about that at a later date.
Yeah, that's
but the first week here.
Put that on a shelf somewhere.
I've got to go buy some lactose-free milk. And I knew what the word for lactose-free was.
Well, that's good.
And I'm like, I can do this. I'm going to go buy some lactose-free milk. And when we were in Italy, we were able to find lactose-free milk in every store. And so I'm like, it's got to be pretty close. It's not that big of a deal. Whatever. It's so overwhelming. I think that's the number one word for, like, if I had to choose a word to describe what this whole process was like, it's overwhelmed. Like, I understand what it's like when your toddler's brain is on fire now, because when you are looking around and you literally don't even know what anything means, it is so overwhelming, and you will cling to anything familiar. Like, I bought so many raspberries. Yeah. Because I'm like, I know what those are. I know what they taste like. I know what they look like. I know how much I'm paying for them, because I know what those numbers mean. Like, and they come in a package, which means I don't have to try to use the machine where you bag your own produce.
Yeah.
So I'm like, raspberries, that's where it's at. We're gonna eat all the raspberries, because we can't buy bananas, because every time you go to buy bananas, you have to use a special little scale to get a sticker put on them, because if you get to the checkout line without your bananas marked, then the checker will hold all your stuff and make you go back and get a sticker on it.
Oh no. The banana walk of shame.
It is a banana walk of shame. Oh, and it's no. terrible. And I have done it 4 times.
I love that. I love that. I would have never thought about it. I would have never thought about, like, how much of a perspective that could provide you, though, for your toddler. Because, like, we just babble at them in fluent English from the very moment that they're born. And, like, it's overwhelming. I mean, like, it totally makes sense why when they start to learn something, or you see them learn something new, like, that's why they have sleep regressions, and that's why they are just absolutely just going crazy when they learn something new. Like, my son with his bells and his music, like, he will lay in bed at night and do solfege, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, over and over and over again in different orders. And you can just tell, like, his brain is just really comforted by the fact that, like, he knows this and is really excited that he knows this, and this is really cool and exciting. And so, like, when you are learning something new and you are immersed into this new culture, you really kind of are the alien that we talk about with toddlers. Like, you know, well, they've only been on Earth for 2 years.
He's laying in bed doing that, and I'm laying in bed trying to remember what the German translations for my grocery list were, because I got to where the only way that I could shop without being so overwhelmed that I left with a headache halfway through my list was I would write my grocery list in English, and then I would use Google Translate to translate what it was, and write German grocery list. And it also was super helpful, because if I had to ask somebody for help, I could just point to it on my list and they knew what the word was, because they speak the language. It's so nice. But I also, like, I think I developed, and my husband too, which has been huge for us, because he's always understood, like, the need to communicate with our toddler in a way that, like, provides empathy to her learning. But I don't think he ever understood, like, the urgency, like, how easily she'll get frustrated if you don't, until you go somewhere and they realize that you don't speak the language natively, and they just, like, talk around you and then feed you, like, the 4 words that they think you need, and you're like, but wait, did you, like, really understand that I need these shoes in a different size? Or, like, can we try to talk in, like, speak is the English, can we try to talk in my language, can we meet in the middle and try Japanese or something, like, I don't know.
No, that's really true, and it is really hard, because you also have a desire to learn, and sometimes that limiting, like, you know, my mother-in-law is fluent in Spanish, as is most of my husband's family, and, like, for the first probably 6 months that I knew them, everybody would switch to English for me, and I was like, but I really enjoy Spanish, and I like practicing it, and I like talking it, and we want to make sure that our family uses Spanish. And we had to kind of have that conversation of, like, please stop making my life easier, because I'm trying to learn. And it's like, well, you know, it's hard to balance those two things out and hard to know where your toddler is with that emotionally. Because I'm sure some days she's like, I want to learn. And some days she's like, if one more person babbles at me that I don't understand, I'm going to scream.
Yeah. And so we find ourselves like communicating with her in ways that help teach her what we're saying instead of, you know, like, oh, that's not a book. That's not a book outside. Those are your boots. And say, oh, book, boot. Those words sound very similar. That's why you got them confused. Silly brain. Those words are so similar. Silly words. And, you know, like, you just kind of explain what happened instead of just writing it off.
Yeah.
So that, I like that. You know, I like it's that not awareness. So frustrating, because it's really, really, really frustrating when you don't know that you're saying the German word for doorknob over and over instead of, you know, dishwasher detergent or whatever. And they just keep saying, no, don't sell doorknobs here. Don't sell doorknobs here. And you're like, what? And they know you're trying to say dishwasher detergent because that's where you're at in the store. That's the aisle you're standing on. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, really huge to understand that level of overwhelm and also just understand what it's like to just be fully done by the end of the day because you have just taken in so much new. Yeah. And there were weeks like that for us. Like, so several people have like messaged me over the last few months and been like, oh my gosh, have you seen this castle yet? Or have you traveled this? Or have you whatever? And I'm like, yeah, so, like, I figured out where the toilet paper is in the local grocery store today.
It's that's huge. My shining accomplishment. You know what I mean?
Like, we have moved to a different country. We have both started new jobs. Our toddler has started daycare. We were trying to potty train. Like, it's a whole busy life over here. Plus, it's happening in a different country and away from everything we've ever known.
It's not a vacation. And some people think that it's going to be kind of like a vacation where your only job is to go see that castle. But it's like, no, yeah. You have life things to do. And that was what it did not hit me that you had left and moved to a new culture until the day that you broke your foot, which we won't talk about a lot because I know it was a really kind of yucky memory. But the day that I was texting someone who I had never met and probably will never meet, who was staying with your daughter while you were navigating with your husband, like the emergency room and like her urgent care
first
type
and only
setting.
Ever overnight sitter was basically a stranger that I had known for 8 days.
Yeah. And like she was an absolute godsend. She was
of
wonderful.
Her face
but
and her ID.
Exactly. And I just remember like texting her and being like, you know, hi, I'm here. I'm here as like support if, you know, she ends up waking up and you need support or because you don't know this baby as well as I do. But also I'm, you know, not going to be able to help very much because I'm on another continent. And that was,
yeah,
it's
wild.
It's very, I would imagine it's very exhausting to be isolated in that version of motherhood too. And I think that was a big thing that you navigated that I really can't wait to kind of dig into later this year, because parenting is not supposed to be an isolated experience, but by moving, you temporarily isolated yourself. And I know that it's been such a big motivating factor for you guys to get plugged into community, to get to know the people at your offices, to see if you can make friends with other people there, and even to just go to the on-base commissary and see other Americans speaking English and see mac and cheese and things. You know, I think it helps with that really isolating, emotionally draining part of parenting, because that's what we hear from stay-at-home moms, from people who have a newborn for the first 3 months and don't want to leave their house because they don't want to expose germs. What's what happened with the pandemic and with you know, with just so much isolation, there's just so much information coming out in the field of psychology of like, you can't do this by yourself. And the faster that you can figure that out and move forward into not doing it by yourself, the better for your mental health it is. And like, you guys had to walk through that as well.
Yeah. I mean, lonely describes a few of the... Well, the first half of the days, because so we're talking about a 6 to 7 hour time change here. So right now when I'm recording this, it's 10:35 p.m.
Yeah, and it's 4:30. I haven't even cooked dinner
I've
yet.
Lived an entire day. Like, I've lived an entire day, run all my errands, cooked all my meals, packed lunches for work tomorrow, tucked my daughter into bed and everything before we even had this conversation. Yeah. I lived my entire day before I talked to anyone back home because I didn't hear from anyone until 4 p.m. today. So yeah. The part of your life that you're in, the part of your day that you're in right now, my phone didn't ring until then.
And that would be so isolating because I'm just used to little check-ins. I mean, like, it's really true. And I feel it on the other end because, like, the end of my day, you know, you wake up around 6 a.m. Sometimes I don't go to bed until 11:30. And so
if I wake up early for work, everybody's
still up.
Yeah, I can
text you. Yeah, I can text you as I'm falling asleep whenever I stay up late. And sometimes I will. Sometimes I'll tell my husband, like, oh, yeah, let's watch a movie. And then I can say goodnight to my sister before I go to bed. But it is this kind of weird, you know, well, we even tried. This is a funny story. We've been trying to figure out, some things have changed with our recording software. And we've been trying to figure out best times to record. And we actually did one where it was 5 a.m. for you and 11 p.m. for me. And it was the end of my day and the beginning of your day. And
yeah, two separate days.
It was
Thursday morning for me.
Yeah. And it was Wednesday night for me. Like, it was literally just really mind warping to think about. And I think that, you know, it's really fun. It's a cool experience for us too. Like, it's things that I would have never thought I could handle. And now it's like, you know, we talked about this when you guys went to Italy last spring. It's like, I don't know how I would handle traveling internationally with my child because I've never done it. But I do think that knowing someone who has done it makes it less scary. And that's actually kind of how both my husband and I have been joking about with you guys surviving your move is, you know, my husband will occasionally be like, well, you know what? I could take an army job in Germany and your sister could tell us how to navigate it. And I'm like, let's not. Let's stay.
I mean, don't take the exact path that we did because it's not the road. It's not the easiest road. Don't take the exact path. But I mean, it is true. Like, once you've seen it done, like, it is easier to do. And honestly, like, once you're in a situation like this where the only way out is through, like, from the moment that the papers were signed, the backstory, the only way out was through. And so even with, like, the move, we stayed in temporary housing, we were waiting on our dog, I broke my foot, like, we had to move, we had to view houses and communicate with people in the language we didn't speak, and, like, all of these things, find new grocery stores, find new doctors, like, all of these things, the only way out is through. And once you, while you're going through it, you're just putting one foot in front of the other, and then once you're through it, you're like, holy crap, I put so many feet in front of the other, and now I'm so much further than I was. And I think that's, like, my husband and I were talking about how next month is our 6 month anniversary. And we have done little things to mark, like, the month anniversaries. Like, I'm keeping a log on our refrigerator of these sticker pictures. Like, I have one of those, like, little print your own pictures and they turn into stickers. It's like a cute, cute little thing.
Oh,
and so I just peel, like, a little strip of the adhesive, not the whole thing, because then I'd never be able to get it off. And my landlord would probably, I don't know, have me murdered or something. I don't know. But I don't, German landlords scare me a little bit.
Your landlord isn't even in Germany. That's the scariest part.
Not
to
even
me.
In Germany, in a completely different country. Actually, he's really, really nice too. So it's a whole thing. But, like, you know, it's just intimidating. It's very intimidating because I don't understand the laws here. I don't understand. And so I don't want to damage anything. I really don't. And I just tear a little bit of the adhesive off and just use it basically like a sticky note, like just a little strip of adhesive at the top. And every month I try to make sure there's one picture of all three of us, four if we can catch the dog, but all three of us looking at the camera, smiling, or sometimes with the toddler, she's sticking her tongue out or whatever.
That's what I was going to say. It's easier to get a picture of you, your husband, and your dog than it is to get your toddler in the frame.
Sometimes it is. But every month we mark a month passing with a picture of the three of us together, because that's what it has ultimately meant. It has meant one more month of us all together. And we mark it on the refrigerator. And for that reason, like, I don't know how I'm going to feel about, like, the 6 month milestone, but I feel like it's going to be big. Like, I feel like it's going to be an emotional day for me, because those are the times, like, when you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, it's been 5 months. 5 months seems so long. Like, because it's just wild. Like, when you're through it, and I feel like a lot of mothers probably can relate to that, because, like, when your baby turns one, it feels like they're so big. But when you're in it, the days are really long. Like,
yeah.
And you're doing it, and all of a sudden, wow, it's been a year. Or all of a sudden, wow, it's been 2 years. That's what I experienced this last month.
I'm coming up on 3 years, and that's not...
It seems impossible. It seems impossible.
It's not real.
That your son is about to be three, and yet... In the middle of those days, there's good days, there's bad days, there's days where you tried, you know, 9 different types of pickles and couldn't find the right one. There's, like, all of these different things have happened, and, like, if you start to look at the big pile of everything that has happened, it's hard not to see that there's good in there, and it's easy to see that there's hard in there. And the only way out is through. Like,
it's true.
It's life. And my husband and I have developed kind of a little bit of a checkpoint. And it's kind of, you know, along the lines of, you hear people say, like, is it hard because it's hard? And it's easy, I think, for us to want to blame a bad day or a frustrating inconvenience or anything like that. It's easy for us to blame that on Germany. Yeah. And there have been a few moments. In fact, we have been told multiple times that if the first 3 months of moving to a different country, PCSing, whatever you want to call it, like, don't make you want to turn around and go home, then you're doing it wrong. Like, it is so overwhelming. Fair. Everybody wants to go home. Everybody has a tough time. There are just days, weeks even, where you're just like, get me out of here.
Yeah.
And we're getting past that, and so that's easier, and those days are further and further between. But the thing is we ask ourselves, and we've taken to asking ourselves, would this be hard if we were back in America? Like, would this still be hard? Like, would this problem still exist? And guess what? When it comes to having a two-year-old, the answer is almost always yes.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
With
my husband and travel, there's been so many times where I'm like, okay, should we stay home from this because he's having a hard time? Or is he going to have a hard time here at home and a hard time there? And at least there he has access to his dad. Like, you know, it's one of those things where, like, I love that perspective. And that makes, I'm glad that you guys are doing that, because that makes so much sense to me. And, like, you're right. The answer with a toddler is almost always going to be like, yeah, it's probably just going to be hard no matter what, because, year two.
Because parenting is hard. Parenting is hard. And parenting in a different country is hard. And parenting in the same country, in the same town you've always lived in, is hard. It's hard. It's going to be hard when they decide that they don't want to eat any of the food that you put in front of them. It doesn't matter if that food's German or Italian or, you know, Mexican food or Kraft mac and cheese. I have tried them all in the same day. And sometimes she just doesn't want to eat what she doesn't want to eat, you know? I will say Italian food probably has a little bit of a better track record with us around here.
I was going to say, or if it's just bread. Like, your child's really your child's the perfect German child, because homegirl loves
some
bread.
She likes bread and cheese.
Yeah. And cheese. That's where she lives. My son would be like, what I mean? What's like, with all the bread?
we went to Paris with me on crutches, and her going through a sleep regression Because you know what? If you're gonna be sad in Paris. If you're gonna have a hard if you're gonna have a hard Saturday anyway, hop a train and go to Paris. Because you can have a hard Saturday in Paris and get better pictures and eat better food than if you have a hard Saturday just sitting at home. Like, you just can't. I realized that, like, that's not always going to work. And there have been wallows. There have been lots of wallows. There have been days where we just can't even, as the kids used to say, and now the kids make fun of us for saying. But it's just one of those things where it's like, and I've asked myself that a lot, like, going back to work. Like, and with her starting daycare and us finding a new rhythm and trying to find the balance of how many days she goes. And we can talk about all that on a future episode because, like, we're still at 3 days a week because it just wears her out to go longer than that. And so finding that balance and having to, like, prioritize and fight for, like, a part-time job and that kind of stuff, that's hard. But that would have been hard in America, too.
Oh, yeah.
In some ways, it's easier here because, you know, we chose my husband chose to take a job that put us in a financial situation that was better than where we were. And I have more options because if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I have a fallback plan that I might not have had if we'd stayed in America, especially with inflation things looking terrifying from where you guys are. But
there's definitely some pros and cons.
But, like, mothering is hard, and it's going to be hard. And it's just, like, you know, we can joke about, like, her coming home from school with her German words and me not knowing what they are, but I also might not have known what baby shark was if I hadn't known people's kids who had it, and I definitely didn't know what turn around, touch the ground was until I texted you about it, and then you found it, and then the one that you suggested wasn't even the same song, but it led me to a Spotify-related, like, song that ended up being the right one. We figured it out today, and that's just gonna be how it is. Like, going through life together with your children is going to just be a wild ride, and the only way out is through. It just is.
Well, you're a really good mom, and I'm glad that you guys are at a point where we can start recording again, because I really miss doing this with you. But you're a good mom. A German mom.
You're a good mom. I have to learn how to say that in German, because that would be so cool if I could end the episodes by saying that in German.
Oh, add that to your to-do list. Your really, really, really long to-do list.